Welcome to the D&K Repost Non-League Show. And as you can see, joining me again tonight, of course, is the wonderful Ali. And I mean, we know your boss is going to be on shortly. He's running a little bit late, so he'll be on in a bit.
A bit of a fine, don't you reckon?
Yeah, I reckon so, yeah.
Ban me if I was late.
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? Who collects the fines at Barking?
I don't know. I don't get fined, David, is answering that question. I'll never know.
So, Barking itself, I mean, you know, from your point of view, I mean, results have started to get better, haven't they? I mean, they've started to turn the corner. I suppose that's maybe some of your injuries coming back, but, you know, you're not doing too bad. I know you're still sitting in that sort of playoff area, aren't you, in the North Division, but you've got a couple of games in hand on the likes of Witham and Basildon and above you. So, you know, things are looking a little bit more rosier.
Yeah, I think it's always about, I mean, it's really difficult because when you have a group of players like we've got at Barking, where you think they're a little bit underachieving this year, frankly. It's been a tough season. I think part of it's on my doorstep with the injuries, part of it's on the COVID situation. And, you know, teams need time to gel, don't they? Players, you know, they need to have opportunity to sort of as a team gel. I think the boss who's coming in shortly is part of the reason why we perhaps have galvanised a little bit. You know, new approach, new fresh ideas. And obviously I've worked really hard to get my injuries back, so that's always a nice one. Mm. Well done, Ali. I'll say it before he comes on. He won't praise me.
But I mean, you've seen, you know, stuff going on and you know, I saw a post again today where going on to sort of like ladies football and stuff. And I've seen a post on there again today where they're saying that, you know, there's going to be no sort of like comparison between the men's wages and the women's wages. But I suppose a plus point was the fact that, you know, the Women's FA Cup now, they're going to actually be putting more money into it, which I think helps maybe from this Sky sponsorship.
Yeah, I think money's always the root, isn't it, of getting things equal, sadly, in football. I mean, I think Lewis is doing quite a lot of work, can't they, with Equality FC, about having matching wages between both teams, which is lovely to see. But I think it's also about exposure. I mean, before this season, how often did you see women's football on TV? I think unless they've got the fan base, the opportunities on TV, the ability to be seen, then that's also a problem for getting them what they need. But onwards and upwards from here, I think, to be honest. I mean, it's this nice one to put on TV and to see a women's game, isn't it?
Mm, well, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, so there's one thing we should ask you before the boss comes on as well. I mean, you've got a big game tomorrow. I spoke to Andy last night, of course, from Enfield, and of course you've got Enfield in the cup tomorrow night, and that isn't going to be an easy game at all, is it? And I suppose it must be a very difficult decision for Charlie when he looks at that and goes, well, look, hang on a minute, we've got a cup game, you know, against Enfield, which we really want to win, you know, just sort of do our best in that sort of game. But on Saturday, just round the corner, is a huge, huge game against Witham away. So, I mean, that's, do you think you might have one more eye on that than maybe the cup game against Enfield?
I'm a big believer in momentum. I think it's really important to get players minutes, to get them the ability to build a result and build a performance going into a game. We haven't had much training time recently, unfortunately, because of the way our fixtures have been. And I think that he'll relish opportunity to sort of get the team together, get the shape going again, get them flowing. I mean, they've done one. Barking have been amazing in cups this year, frankly. So hope maybe we can build a bit of cup form into league form is what I would hope to see. Also, get minutes of players who haven't had minutes yet. We've got a few coming back from injuries, as I said. So they'll get the opportunity to sort of get their minutes going. But I'd like to see. I think we'll go. I mean, I'm not the gaffer, obviously, but I think we'd probably go relatively strong. We build momentum, but who knows? You never know. You might get four lateral flows come back positive tomorrow. I don't count for anything anymore.
I mean, in all fairness, though, I mean, if you've got like a, and I'm not saying you've got as maybe a small squad now because of injuries and stuff. I suppose some of the times it could be a situation where that's taken out of Charlie's hands, and he's got to go with the strongest, you know, 11, because he hasn't got much else after that because of injuries and maybe, I don't know, maybe suspensions or whatever else into it after that as well.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've got, this is big up, the under-23s have been amazing this year. So we had a situation, we had to go into a game with, I think we had a large number out with COVID, and I think we had about five under 23 stepped up, and they've stayed in the squad ever since, to be honest, because they were that good. So I think it's nice as a club that Barking are pulling together. I think we've got some lovely young players. I mean, I'm sure Charlie will sing their praise when he comes on. But so I think it's an opportunity to see what we've got, to try new things out. My gut is to get a bit of momentum and build from that. I don't want to give the Enfield gaffer too many ideas. If I was in charge, I'd just put Barney Williams up front and see what happens.
I'm looking at the games, and he's probably got a couple of difficult decisions, I suppose, because as you just said, you know, Barking are doing really well in the league. Mm-hmm. In the cup, sorry. And you've got Enfield Town, you know, in the Velocity Trophy, you know, tomorrow night. And I might get down to that if I can. I might see if we can slip down that tomorrow night.
Nice to see you, mate.
And then on Saturday, of course, you're away to Witham, which, of course, is a massive six-pointer, if that's what you want to call it. Then you've got another Poxy Cup competition again in the middle of it, haven't you? It's such with Concord Rangers. And I don't mean Poxy, you know what I'm trying to say? When you're in, when you need the games that you see that are around these cup games, you could have done without it. You know, so you go Enfield in a cup, Witham in a six-pointer, Concord Rangers at home, you know, I'm assuming that's the Essex Cup. And then after that, you've got Basildon, another six-pointer at home straight after that as well. So you've almost got a situation where you've got, you know, two games that you don't really want in the mix, as you said, like, you know, maybe not enough training time, and because of everything that's been going on with weather and COVID and games having to be played and all that sort of stuff. You could really have done with that sort of maybe training pitch, you know, more time on the training pitch rather than having to play, you know, Enfield Town and Concord in the middle of two of the biggest games possibly in the season.
My gut is that where there is adversity, there's opportunity. I think players rise to this. I mean, there's nothing more that players love than getting on the pitch and getting a ball at their feet. So I think the players are going to, I mean, physio might not like it, but I think the players are going to love it, because they love minutes, they love getting momentum, they love a bit of competition. And you know what? It's lovely to have an opportunity to win something this year, isn't it? I mean, silverware is a big thing, you know. I've got a few rounds. I won't count them all up for you, David. It'll take too long, but nothing beats a bit of silverware, does it? And an opportunity to sort of perform to the best of what you can do. So I think the players will love it, personally. And look, it might give me a headache, but other than that, it's fine.
I mean, looking at that Concord game, it's a quarter final as well. So, I mean, you're not far away from, you know, from an Essex Cup final either.
No, I mean, I've not done the Essex Cup, so let's see what happens. I'm not counting my chickens, but you never know. You never know. These boys, are honestly, they're so talented, David. Like, the league, I mean, people say leagues don't lie. I think the league does lie for these boys. I think they've definitely underperformed. I think they've had a really hard run of it. And I would honestly, I think had things gone a bit better, that football gods have been a bit kinder to us, I think it would be a very different season for us, personally. But it is what it is. You grow, you learn. I think you learn more from your losses, don't you, than you do from your wins. And we've done a lot of learning this year, haven't we?
I've learned a lot.
I'm a bit sick of learning at this point, but hopefully we'll stop learning this tomorrow.
But has it got to a stage, though, for you, though, as you said, you've had quite a few serious injuries, and here's the boss just about to come in. You've had a few serious injuries as well. Is that difficult for you as well when you go out onto those sort of games as well? You're looking at thinking, oh, please, you know, please don't, yeah. You know, there's no more injuries.
I think, honestly, I'm not a praying woman, but there's points in this season where I was praying just not to be used. You know, I think the physio, Charlie will tell you, I'm a lazy little effer when I want to be. I want to just sit on the bench with my bum there and not move at all. But unfortunately, I've been called on a few times this year to do my job, frankly. And I think that with injuries, what you sometimes forget is that though you had the big injury that happens on the game and you think that's it, it goes on to the next game, because the boys and training, and it can be really, really unsettling for a team to get a really bad injury. No one ever appreciates it, actually. When you get a bad injury, the boys, it lingers. You know, they think about it, they wonder, they might have a few sleepless nights over it, and it might cause them anxiety. So it can really impact a squad quite negatively. Mm. It can also get them going, you know. But, you know, I think the Ericsson thing's an example, isn't it, of how upsetting an injury can be when it happens. I'll let you say hello to the boss now.
I'll tell you what, that was a great link into the first question we can ask.
Wasn't it just?
We can ask Charlie. Oh, what a great link in that was. I mean, Charlie. I mean, as a you know, ex-player and all the before we go on to parking, an ex-player at sort of Brentford and that. I mean, how pleased are you to see Christian Eriksen back and playing at your club?
Oh yeah, fantastic, and it's been a long time coming because it's one of the biggest unkept secrets. I think that was organising personal terms, making sure that his health was first and foremost, you know.
You're in and out.
Just try and sort this out. Sorry, hold on 1 moment.
No worries, mate.
So, let me log back on. I'll log back on.
Yeah, go on, mate. So, I mean, Ali, I mean, what's he like with a gaffer?
Charlie, while he's offline, you mean? Do you know what? It's really refreshing to have a gaffer like Charlie. I think if people had always asked me or asked of me before, I was always called Tony Russell's physio, frankly, because I've been with him for so long. And then moving into Barking was very different. And then obviously the situation with Justin very unfortunately happened. Good lad, Justin, but it's football, isn't it? And then Charlie stepped in. And frankly, he's been a breath of fresh air in my career. While he's offline, I'll big him up. When he's back on, I'm going to tell him I don't like him anymore. But it's really interesting to have a person who's a player. Do you know what I mean? He understands how players work. He understands how I work as a physio. I've not met a player with a better understanding of his body and injuries and how to warm up and how to look after him. I mean, he's years old and he's still playing football at a top level when you think about it. And that takes a lot of dedication towards your own wellness.
Mm.
Well, and for me,
like,
honestly, it's been amazing having him as a gaffer.
And it's amazing hearing what you say about his training and this sort of stuff. I mean, Keith goes on about Charlie all the time, about what a massive influence he's on youngsters as well. And I suppose having a manager like that, if you've got youngsters in your squad, you know, just to see how he trains, how he, you know, sort of holds himself, shall we say, as well in it, he's, you know, must really give them a lot of confidence and to see him.
It's amazing. I mean, like, honestly, he'll come into. I saw it more when I was at Cray when he came into us. We were quite an established team at that point, and he came in and he would do the old exercise band warm up. So are you getting his glutes working, using the foam roller? And my players, when they first came in, they were laughing at him. And within about 3 weeks, the young'uns were copying him, and they're still doing that now. Those players. Because you cannot underestimate in a football team the importance of positive role models in the team. Because I can sit here and tell you to my blue in the face, this is what you should be doing, you know, in the squad. But when they see a player of that caliber doing those things, it just tells the youngers, actually, this is what you should be doing. And I think that's what they've responded to at Barking. I think they're a young squad, and what they've seen is a role model, and they've seen somebody who's on their level and talks to them in the way that they want to be spoken to and talk to them in a way that they understand, but also understand what it's like to be a player still. Because sometimes managers forget that. I mean, I know I forget, you know, I haven't played football for donkey's years and I forget what it's like to be a player sometimes. But Charlie's still in that head zone, I think, a little bit. Obviously, he's still a player. He's an interim manager. He's injured at the moment. But it's quite interesting to really see where he's coming from with that side of things.
And I mean, when he had his first injury and then he gets back and then he goes down with his second injury. I mean, you must be saying, no, not him again.
My heart sank, to be honest, because I won't go into too much detail about asking him if he wants to go into it, but it was at training, unfortunately. So I just popped out to check how he was. And as I popped out and got round the corner to see the pitch, it happened.
Yeah.
And my heart just sank. And it's not like, oh, not him again. You know, not let it be somebody else. let it be Gareth. We don't like Gareth. But it was your heart kind of sinks a little bit, doesn't it, when it's a player that you think, oh, he's been through enough. Like, give him a break. But that, again, that's not how football works, is it?
No. And he's put it. Has he texted you through? Is he having issues?
He's struggling to join at the moment. I'm going to tell him I've blocked him out. This has now become an interview with me. This is great. I've lucked out, Dave.
He'll be back on in a minute with a bit of luck. But I mean, that must have been tough. But to see him come back and then be given the opportunity to sort of run the team as well, he's fantastic.
Cracking. He's cracking. It's nice to see someone who's not learning coaching, because he coaches outside of football. So I think it's natural to him. But it's kind of nice to have, you know, he's very different to anyone I've worked with before about how he approaches things. It's quite nice actually. You know, maybe I'll be Charlie Mack's physio from now on. Who knows?
Personal physio.
Don't tell Tony.
Be his personal physio. Well, I mean, do you honestly get to a situation now though where you think, you know, with Charlie there, do you feel that, you know, you're going to get out of the position that you're in at the moment?
Honestly, I genuinely think we do. I think it's a little bit, what we lack now is consistency. I think we've had some, I don't want to come making excuses, but we've had some results go, I think, wrongly. I think we had Cam Young on the ropes, to be honest with you, until that penalty. And I would say, for me, a bit dubious. You know, I'm not a ref basher at all, but I thought my hand wasn't that far away from the body, personally speaking. You know, but when you're at the bottom, your luck's never on, is it? And when you're at the top, your luck's perhaps a bit better. I've had so many 3-2 where it's gone my way, I probably can't moan too much. But you know what? Your luck's got to, I think sometimes you've got to work hard and make your own luck. I think if we're barking on right now, those lads are working hard. And I think it's impossible for me to see them not achieving something good this year. I mean, technically, probably because we'll get in the playoffs, right, David? If I'm being honest.
Why not? Steady eye, girl.
I still believe.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, looking at your games, I mean, you've got left, of course. Now you've got, you know, in the league, you've got Witham on the 5th. You've got Basel on the 11th. Grays on the 15th. Dereham on the 19th, Felixstowe on the 22nd, Coggeshall on the 26th. You can get your photo done with Ollie again. 26th. Then you've got Stowmarket, Felixstowe, hashtag Great Wakering Rangers at Rovers, sorry, and then finish off with Tilbury.
I know. I mean, do you know what? If you're going to get out of a hole, you've got to get out of it properly, ain't you? There's no point doing it. You know what? I mean, let's be honest, when I was at Cray, I think we would have caught Worthing. We had no right to catch Worthing. We've done magic before. We can do a bit of magic again, I reckon. Well, you've got some magic in my bones, I think, David.
Well, you've just said you could still make the playoffs. You can still make the playoffs.
Yeah, so technically. I've added it up. In my head, yeah. I won't give in until I know. But I'm that person that watches Eurovision and goes, we could win this year. We could get a couple more points in the voting rounds and we'll do all right.
Yeah.
This is our year, I think, this year again.
But I mean, at the moment you can get a maximum of 59 points. Yep. Dereham sitting in 5th on 42 points. So yep. You've only got 17 points to play with.
I mean, for me, it's just easy maths, isn't it? You ain't got to be Carol Vorderman to work that one out. We can still do it, right?
It'll be, and let's be honest, it'll be the biggest comeback since Lazarus, won't it? If you can get
it. It'll be, and you know what? I frankly look forward to it. And you know what, I'll be so busy on Twitter that day, David, that frankly, I'll be unbearable. Mr. Mack is struggling to get in at the moment.
Wow.
I know, definitely a fine, I reckon. Let me just send it on to you. I can keep talking now, I love it. Normally I'm sitting on the bench being quiet, this is lovely.
So a good friend of ours, and you're talking about ref bashing, and of course one a good friend of ours is, did you see her photo today?
Which one?
With Steve Bennett.
Oh, yes, Mr. Bennett and Miss Sawyer. Do you know what? She gets on really well. Do you know what? People give her a lot of tip about refs. She's a great refugee for refs. She has got their back constantly. She's much more alert than I am most of the time.
Yeah.
I'm normally paying attention to something silly, like my players' injuries, but she's a good girl, RMs. I'm sure we'll see her back and around the business again very soon.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Without a shadow of a doubt. And I'm just trying to make sure that we can see if we can get Charlie back in again. So we're just going to...
He's a real star of the show. I'm just filling in for him. I'm running out of stuff to say, to be honest with you. I don't know if I'm going to talk about. Talk about my day at work.
We'll try and get him in the best we can. And we will struggle away to try and get him in. But we'll do our best, because I don't know if it's him having issues, which I think it must be, but we'll see if we can't get him in.
Honestly, he's much better at coaching than he is at getting onto Zoom meetings. That's what I'm going to say. Thank goodness for that.
Oh, hello. I can see him on the top of the screen. There he goes.
Does he come back in? Yeah. Don't tell him what I said, though, please. I'm going to ask on behalf of me. Do not get me sacked, babe. I was talking. I said nothing but nice things, Charlie. I promise. Don't sack me.
I don't know if he can hear you. You should have heard what she was saying about you, Charlie. Honestly, mate.
Yeah. Am I right now? Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Yeah.
Perfectly now, mate. Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect.
I'll it down to you while you're gone, boss. Don't worry.
Must be my laptop playing up, Ali. You know.
You want to get a new one, mate, and a new signing on deal, innit?
Let's wait and see first, shall we?
So, Charlie,
lovely things, Charlie. I promise. Don't listen to him.
I'm sure.
we were talking about Mr. Ericsson, and because we couldn't hear what your reply was, but I mean, it must be like a massive uplift for everybody at Brentford.
No, it is. I did the game. I did the co-commentary for the Manchester United game, and first half, you know, Brentford took the game to Manchester United, and how they haven't scored in that game. It's beyond me a little bit in terms of the chance they created. And they were by far the better team. But I've said it before, the Premier League's an unforgiving league. And if you don't take your chance at the right time, it's going to come back to bite you. And a player with Ericsson's quality, getting the sort of chances that Brentford had, he would be the one who would take chances like that. So it's a massive signing for them. They've got a big Scandinavian group within the squad, and I think he's going to fit him well, and it's great to see him back in and playing again.
Absolutely. We were just talking about your games coming up as well, Charlie, I was speaking to Andy Leask last night, to do some stuff with Enfield Town last night, and was he talking about your game with them tomorrow night as well, and saying that he's got players there that they want to be rested, some do. He's got a decision to make, and I suppose from your point of view as well, you've got a probably even bigger decision. And we were just discussing that you've got, fantastically, you've got, you're doing really well in the cup competitions, but these two cup, next rounds of the cup have really fallen in a really bad time for you, haven't they? Really, with the games against Witham and Basel and in between.
Yeah, no. In terms of obviously the squad and people know obviously at this level you can't carry a bigger squad as what you would if you was going higher up the leagues. And, that's a lot of games for the boys. And yes, we're doing well in the cups, but yeah, listen, it's the league's the main priority, and playing the two teams in and around us is obviously going to be tough. And we have to make sure that, we've got the bodies back fit and raring to go for them games to give ourselves the best possible chance.
So is that a hard decision for you tomorrow night, whether you go full strength or you go, or you sort of rest a few because of that game at the weekend, and then also the following week against Concord as well, when you've got the Basildon game coming up as well? Does that make it a little bit of a tough decision on what you do?
To be honest with you, Dave, I've sort of rotated the squad a lot within the cup games, and I've tried to give players minutes and tried to give them a chance to impress. And obviously, Ali tells me who I can and I can't play as well. So, she's in my ear all the time. But listen, it is a tough one. There are going to be boys that need to play less minutes than others. The good thing about this cup is that with the subs bench, you can use five from five subs, which is great, because even if I play the boys for some minutes, I know I can take a lot of the boys off that I might need to, may not start with a few of them. So yeah, it gives me a few options. But listen, there's no dressing it up. The biggest game for us is obviously Witham on Saturday, and then the following week against Basildon on Friday.
Well, we were just talking, while you were coming back on and earlier as well, around the fact that, I said to Ali, when Keith's on here, he he's probably your number one fan, but I think Ali's going to push him quite close, so she was actually saying almost exactly what Keith says, how much you're actually able to influence, the younger players in the team. After you've had your, two injuries this year, was you expecting that sort of call to go into management? And when you have now, how has that affected, how has your sort of day-to-day job affecting with the youngsters? If you're not doing, you still been able to influence the youngsters more now because of you being the manager?
Yeah, listen, I think on the actual injury front, yes, it was. It's not been nice having the two injuries so close together in terms of how bad they were. And yeah, the actual job come as a bolt out of the blue. I didn't expect it. It's not, it weren't a phone call that I expected at all. But obviously being injured and trying to obviously being able to help the boys, I did agree to sort of step in for the time being. And yeah, listen, I've enjoyed it. It's frustrating. I understand that the management stress that they go through in terms of injuries, players unavailable. But it's part and parcel. Has it affected the way I talk to the youngsters? No, if not, probably I talk to them even more now, if I'm honest, in terms of, you know, from a manager's point of view rather than, you know, an ex-pro's point of view, and trying to get the best out of them, trying to tell them what they might need to do better. And it's no different, really, Dave, to what I do on an everyday basis with my under-19 academy. You know, we're speaking to young kids all the time, so... I've managed to take one of the boys from that as well into the Barking squad. So I know obviously what he's about, and he's in and around men's football now, which is quite nice. But yeah, no, in terms of giving out information, telling boys what they should be doing in certain roles in the team and what's expected of them, yeah, that's obviously second nature.
I mean, when you got the phone call and you've got the job and you've been in it now for a bit of time, but I mean, was you confident enough going into it, knowing from your academy that you, right, okay, I know what I'm doing. I'm not saying you don't know what you didn't know what you're doing, but you know, did you then go for the experience? Did you give people like maybe, I don't know, a key for call or somebody else a call just to say, look, you know, give me a bit of advice or stuff like that? Or was you more than confident enough, you know, with what you're doing with your own academy as such that you didn't feel you needed to?
Yeah, no, I think with obviously what I do on a day-to-day basis, you know, I take all the training of my boys and I run an academy where I'm obviously head of the academy where I've got over 140 to 150 kids. So, you know, six teams, we train every single day, more or less. We have games. So in terms of shape, structures, patterns, you know, information given, all of that really is ingrained in me already. So it wasn't really any different trying to transfer that into the men's game. Obviously, yes, I've changed the shape in terms of how I want us to play in terms of the previous manager. But listen, the previous manager was so unlucky with the results and the injuries. The injuries played a massive, massive part into the downfall of results that we had. And yeah, obviously, it was a shame that happened. But you know, the club moves on, and I've gone in and tried to instill different shape, different, you know, different ideas, and the boys have taken to it. Apart from, you know, the 45 minutes from Avely the other night in the second half, which I wasn't very pleased at all with. Other than that, I've not come out of a game where I think, you know, we deserve to get something out of it.
Well, Ali was saying, you know, again while you was off there, that she reckoned you're still going to get the playoffs.
Listen, a few of the boys are looking up the table rather than down the table. And, you know, I like that. But it's a results business, and the result, you have to get the results. You might think, oh, we shouldn't be down here. But listen, we're down there for a reason. Like I said, like you've said as well, the next couple of league games are huge for the football club, because it's going to determine whether we are going to be actually in a relegation dogfight or are we going to be looking to try and catch the group in front of us. So yeah, one step at a time. They've had a couple of managerial changes in the two teams that we're playing as well. They've brought some players in. So listen, there's no game that's going to be easy in this league. We've shown we can go and compete with the top teams, but it's the teams in and around us that we have to make sure that we turn up and actually do the business, because otherwise, it's going to be a tough February and March.
I mean, with yourself though, I mean, how long are you out for the season? I mean, are you likely to get back before the end of the season? And also now, you know, listening to what Keith says about you, and as I said, he waxes lyrical about you every time we speak about you. But, I mean, does that now sort of put something in your mindset now to say, well, look, okay, next year, am I going to carry on playing, or am I just going to go into the, you know, the easy life and put your feet up and just manage the team?
No, is that the easy life, Dave, is it? I'll be honest with you. I've got an orthopedic appointment with my specialist on Friday regarding my elbow. they are chasing up the NHS results from the MRI scan as we speak. So hopefully they can get them in place before I go and see them. And seeing them on Friday will determine whether I am good to crack on with my rehab in terms of getting more strength and that into my arm now I've improved the range of movement, or whether the stability is not quite where it needs to be and I might need to have a surgical procedure. So Friday, I'll find out a lot more in terms of where I go next with my elbow. And then obviously then it'll be having to make a decision from there, really.
I mean, as we see it, I mean, you've been put in, you know, in sort of in charge of Barking for the time being as such. I mean, you're not, that hasn't changed your mind. We're still going to see, as Keith said, he reckons you could carry on playing for another 10 years. So, I mean, you know, I mean, are we still going to be seeing you smashing the goals in as we sit here at the minute?
Well, I hope so. But obviously, I'll be honest, it's taken, my physical fitness side of things taken a little bit of a hit in terms of obviously doing all the stuff I'm doing on a coaching basis and a training and a management basis as well. I've not kept myself ticking over as much. Listen, I've not put any weight on or anything like that, which is great. But in terms of fitness, getting, you know, miles into the legs, etc., and stuff like that, it's been quite difficult to juggle the two together. Because obviously I wouldn't be able to do any contact stuff, so I'd have to take myself away from the group. But then I've got to coach the group. I've got to, you know, I'm seeing Ali while the boys are warming up on a match day, so, and making sure that I'm getting some stuff done on my arm as well. So I'll have to hit the ground running in terms of if I get this green light, I'll have to really try and crack on with it. And hopefully then we'll have to wait and see from there, really. The biggest thing for me at the moment is just to see what the specialist says. And then once he obviously comes back with the information that he's got, then I'll obviously have to then make a decision from then.
Can I just jump in? I know I shouldn't ask questions because I'm not really meant to.
You
talk about injuries. So obviously, you know me, my background is injury management. And I have to just ask that, like, how have you found sort of, you've obviously had two big injuries. And I'm sure it's not the first big injury of your career. You've had a very illustrious career. You can name drop in a minute, child, don't worry.
I ain't got no name.
How have you found like coping with a bad injury, talk about your mental health, your physical health, and then sort of being outside the group, and sort of how do you see that? I've been going for the last few months, really, for us, isn't it?
Yeah, no, listen, injuries for any player, no matter what sort of level you're playing at, it's a hard time. You know, it can be a lonely place. You've got to make sure you've got the right support network of people around you, to make sure that you mentally come through them sort of. So I've been at clubs before where if you're injured, managers don't speak to you, you know, because if you're not available to them, they sort of, they don't really want to talk to you until you are, you know, it's one of them ones. And it ain't the way it should be, but listen, that's football. And that's what happens when you, especially up the levels a lot more when you've got so-called bigger squads, etc. But yeah, it has been tough. But not only for me, obviously for my family, for my partner, you know. My first injury, she was heavily pregnant with the first one. She was even more heavily pregnant with the second one. And, you know, putting her under that sort of stress as well, getting the phone call, you know, I mean, hospital again, it can't have been good. So, yeah, it's not great. But listen, she remained so calm. She's been a rock for me in terms of trying to get through this as well as you have, Ali. You've been first class as well. And, yeah, like I say, it's tough, but you have to make sure you're in the right hands. And yeah, like, listen, you know as well as I, you've treated so many people over your career so far, and you know some people deal with it differently to others, and yeah, it is a mental thing. It's hard, but you know, your character, it shows what sort of character you are when you come through these sort of things.
I mean, with the remaining games you've got left, Charlie. I mean, what's the goals? You know, and I suppose the goals will be, you don't want to be in that bottom three, but I mean, what, you know, points wise or whatever else, I mean, you know, what was you actually looking at? I mean, a lot of people turn and say they're looking for 2 points a game or whatever, but I mean, have you got, and I'm not expecting you to say, but have you got sort of a point sort of target in your head that you think, well, that should be enough to keep us out of the, well, the bottom two stroke that playoff game?
You know what, Dave? I haven't. And, you know, it's going to be the same old cliche, like any manager, you're overtaking every game as it comes, that sort of thing. But I will be honest, I look at the group of players I've got in the dressing room and some of the things I've tried to implement. There's not one game I've gone into where I've not think we're going to get a result. yes, we've come up short. We come up short the other night, but that's the first time we've really come up short in terms of performance. The Canby game was a sickener for me because we was 2-0 up with, you know, 8 minutes to go. And once the penalty was given, we sort of capitulated a little bit in that respect. But that one really, really hurt in terms of the performance. But, you know, we're close and it's about fine margins. And I won't change the way that I want to play or I want my players to play this. I don't really want to be going into games where you're defending for 90 minutes and you're not going to go and have a right go, etc. It's one of them ones we want to try and implement our style on a game. And I think we've done that majority of the times. And is it unlucky? Listen, when you have a run of results that these boys have had, there are going to be moments of panic and uncertainty when you get into the, you know, into the final stages of a game and you're winning, because some of these boys are not used to that at the moment because of the sort of run they've been on. So we've got to try and implement that sort of winning mentality into the boys and to remain nice and composed when you get your noses in front and still keep playing the same way as what you got you there. But yeah, I'm pretty confident that, you know, there's a lot of games, a lot of football still to be played over the rest of the season, and I'm pretty confident that we'll get a lot of points on the board.
But it must show his great morale in your squad, because, I mean, as you said, you've had that disappointing, you know, 2-3 reverse against Canby Island. But then you go back in, you know, and you look at the next game, you think, Struth, we've got Grays in the next game. How are the boys going to react? You know, and they react by beating them 5-1. I mean, that's just, you know, surely it's got to be a bit of a spirit lifter for you, for the fans, for the board, and looking at it going, well, hang on a minute, you know, we might be down in those sort of bottom regions, but the way we're playing, we should be, you know, mid-table pushing for playoffs.
No, yeah. I mean, obviously, there's no doubt about it. There's some talent in the dressing room. It's just about consistency. And I've said it before. If we can have a consistent performance week in, week out, then I'm sure, you know, we'll finish the season very strongly. But it's about having that. And I said it in my post-match interview the other night. I want people to give me 7 out of 10s every week. I'm not really bothered about the 9s. And then all of a sudden next week, you're going to get a 4. Because that doesn't give you longevity in the game as a young player who's aiming to wanting to go up the levels. You know, people will look at you and the consistency is a huge part of it. Can you do your basics well week in, week out? Can you be disciplined in your role for the team? And them sort of things will set the boys in good stead. And like I said, for the young boys who want to try and make a name for themselves, that's what they need to instill in their game. And slowly but surely, we are seeing little progressions, but we need to continue to do that.
I mean, are you looking at, you know, I know that it's transfer deadline day today, and you can sit over, I can sit over the top of the computer as it's going through. But I mean, of course, yours isn't until the end of March. I mean, are you looking to bring in maybe some extra reinforcements because of the injuries? And I didn't get a chance to ask Dally, but I mean, injuries wise,
I mean, bring in a physio, David, for a start.
where is Barking with the injuries at the minute?
At the moment, we're actually not in a bad place, to be honest with you. Obviously, myself being out, and I've got one other lad who's a young boy who's a few weeks away. But other than that, I think we're not actually in too bad a place with it. We're in a better situation than what we was when I first took over by a mile. So in terms of obviously bringing people in, yeah, there's opportunity to do that if it's the right people to come in and fit into the system. You know, we've had a great loan move out of Freddie Parker. Hoping we can extend that. Fingers crossed, we'll get some news on that this week. Because he's been massive for us to give us a little bit more intent up top. And I think that's what we was lacking. You know, we was lacking that cutting edge up top. And he's come in, he's done well. If he hasn't scored, he's chipped in with an assist. Or if he hasn't assisted, he's always been a nuisance and a threat. So obviously bringing George Purcell back in, who knows the level as well. It just adds to that, and that's why I think we've seen some of the results that we have of late, and long may that continue if the boys remain fit and can go into games positive.
Well, Keith's just texted me and he said he's at a meeting tonight, that's why he's not with us tonight, but he said tell him to sort himself out.
Sort myself out as in what, get back playing?
Well, he's got a better physio first, David, and he'll be back playing.
Well, that's what you just put up.
I'm surprised Keith's missing this for a meeting.
I know, he's born this way, hasn't he?
That's not like Keith, is it, Ali?
Mm. Not at all. I'm here now, I'm here to stay. I ain't going nowhere today.
I think he's thinking about us. I think he's gone to a meeting to talk about women referees, I think.
Don't start about that.
I'm
please.
Fat refs again, please.
That got us deducted 3 points, Dave.
All right, okay. Well, we was trying to work out what it was, the way you got your 3 points. So, inform us.
Yeah, so the 3 point deduction was to do with not having shower facilities for female officials at the ground. So, something to do with the ground grading. And they gave us, you know, I think the league gave us, they gave us about 24 hours to get them installed before the game was supposed to be played against Grays, and obviously it couldn't be done within that short space of time. We tried to get alternative venues to get the game on, but there was nothing available for us to go and do that, and in the end the league called the game off. So we didn't call it off, the league called the game off, and we've been sort of slapped with a big fine and a 3 point deduction.
Can I just say though, as a female physio, I've been in this game 13 odd years now. I've never had a shower after a game. I've never had a space to get changed. I've got change in my car, like in the toilets. And like, it's a bit like disrespectful to us as physios to say, oh, ref's got to have a changing room. What about us? Like, I've literally got change in my car. I mean, I've got to go out after the game with them, by the way, just to make sure I'm leaving on time for that game.
Oh, are you? Yeah.
Just to pre-warn you. But like, I generally might have to go and get changed in the toilets before I go, like, leave the ground. That's not cool, is it? Like, how is that a thing?
No, it isn't. And listen, I've been around enough dressing rooms and enough stadiums in at step four level, and I'd be totally honest with you, there's a lot that won't have that facility that's been happened. But you know, unfortunately for us, they've come, they've inspected, they haven't been happy, and this is the consequences that have been slapped on us. And listen, we've just got to lick our wounds and get on with it. And thankfully we got the 3 points against Morden, which obviously softens it, but it just puts us in the mix up with the rest of the teams, and now we've got to roll our sleeves up and dig deep to try and pick up points to get out of that little bit of a sort of rotten position.
So what's Madam like as a physio then? I mean, she's speaking to somebody like yourself who's had sort of first-hand experience of her being physio for yourself. So I mean, what's she like?
No, listen, Ali's top class. I've known about Ali because obviously I had the privilege of working with her when I was at Cray Wanderers for a short spell. And you know, she's great. She's great at her job. She's like every other physio. She's overcautious in terms of the information she gives me in terms of how long players are going to be out. But I know that because I've been around a lot of physios before. So I know that when Ali gives me a timescale, I know that it's less than that, but she's just making sure. So I don't, you know, listen, I'm quite relaxed in terms of when she tells me something. I'm not pushy because I've been on the other side of it. I've been a player, and you know, when managers are desperate for you to be fit and desperate for you to play when you're not quite ready, I've been that player. And so I understand that. And listen, if a player needs that extra, you know, few days or needs that game to miss to make sure that he's available to me for the long term rather than, you know, just a patch up, then I have to take that. And that's how it is in terms of what we've got at our level. So yeah, she's great to have. She's got unbelievable knowledge, great contacts as well. And she's actually a physiotherapist. And she knows what I mean by that, because there's a lot of brilliant physios, but they don't like to call themselves physios because, you know, they haven't got the actual degree or such to actually be called a physiotherapist. I know some people get the ump about that, who actually have gone through the whole education side of it to become a physio. Ali's not one of them, by the way. She couldn't care less, you know, if you want to call yourself a physio. But yeah, I mean, I've come across sports therapists whose knowledge in the game is unbelievable and as good as physiotherapists. But yeah, there's a little thing with physios that they there's a little, you know, like a goalkeeper's union, there's a little physios union to make sure that you know, if you are a physio, make sure that you
WhatsApp as well. That's where it kicks off, mate.
Oh, is that where it kicks off? Yeah. But yeah, no, listen, Ali's, yeah, she's great to have. She keeps on trying to get herself the sack. It's not happening. So she's with me, like it or lump it, I'm afraid, Dave.
You almost got rid of me when the night Justin was leaving. I was ready to, I'll be honest, David, this is a horrible story to tell. The night Justin was gone, I was ready to go and go, you know what, this is my chance to escape and retire. And in the middle of the meeting we're having, I'm thinking, when do I say it to the chairman? A kid on the pitch outside had a cardiac arrest. I had to go and deal with that. But you know what, I'm never leaving this club.
Ali's had to deal with a lot of
been an horrible season.
Bad injuries this year, yeah. And I think obviously that's, it's probably been one of the worst for you now.
I've never had to get the deep about a football match before, apart from once.
Yeah.
I was quite proud of that, that I've never managed to that bad. And I've had it out 3 times this year. So yeah, not a good season for injuries, but do you know what? If while we're there, innit, we roll with the punches, we move on it, we learn from it.
But it's important.
As long as the boys are okay, then I don't care. I'll work till my fingers bleed. As long as those boys are fit and happy and healthy, then I'll do what I've got to do. You know.
And it just goes to show the importance, Dave, of having someone like Ali, and obviously, you know, on the side of the pitch, who's able and capable to deal with such serious injuries. Because if you haven't got anyone who's qualified to do that, or somebody who's never done it before, then you don't know how they're going to react. And it's just really important that, you know, you've got someone who's been there, done it, calm, know what they're doing, because it reassures everyone else, and it just gives everyone that little bit of calmness. Underneath, I'm not sure what she's feeling, but on the surface, yeah, she's as calm as they come.
I'm normally thinking it's effing cold on the floor. Why am I still here for an hour? Where's this ambulance?
Yeah.
But in all fairness, and of course, you've seen that yourself firsthand with your first serious injury you had this year. We won't go into it because I don't want to sort of go back and relive what happened. But I mean, it, you know, that just shows you how, as you just said, how important to have somebody like an Ali there as a physio, rather than, you know, 10 years ago with the bloke running on with the bucket and a sponge.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. Yeah, listen, football's evolved, everything around it's evolved, so. All these new style physios and all the courses that they go on, etc., they all come in handy. I think Ali's even doing her cupping course now, so you know I'll be a guinea pig on that one soon for her.
And for testing.
Yeah.
You don't know it yet. I'm gonna just run at them in the middle of the changing room.
but it's great. I mean, you get your education and you do all your work to make sure that you've got your degree and you are what you say you are, but there's like Ali and other physios I know, they're always doing more and they're always doing all these other little courses to get that little bit of an extra, you know, niche and string to their bow. And it's great because, you know, the more they can do, the more irreplaceable they are. And she keeps on trying to leave, but if she becomes irreplaceable, then I don't know what she's going to do, Dave.
Well, I mean, tomorrow night, you've got Enfield Town, and of course they are the actual sort of the champions of the Velocity Trophy. So Andy reminded me, yes, last night. You know, I mean, how do you go into a game like, you know, like that? I mean, you know, do you go into it with a lot of excitement going up against an experienced manager, a team that's the champions? You've got, you know, you're the level below, you've got the chance to sort of turn them over and at their place as well. I mean, is that a game that you look forward to because of that big occasion? You're playing the champions at home, you know, division above, and they, you know, they're absolutely flying at the moment, the likes of Mo and Adam and Jake. So I mean, is that something that you look forward to, and how do you prepare for that game tomorrow night when you've got that big one sort of dangling itself up for at the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, the reason why we went into the Greys game with such a strong team to play against Greys was purely because of the disappointment of the last 10 minutes against Canvey. I felt we needed to get over that game really quickly before going into the Avely game, and which we did. But listen, Greys had a few players who they rested. We had a couple of boys who obviously wouldn't have been starting if anyway, like in the team. So yes, it was a great performance going into this game again tomorrow night. We've come off the back of a disappointing performance, but it wasn't a disappointing Canvey performance. it was a disappointing performance. As in, listen, against Averley, we didn't do enough to get anything out of the game. So we lost. The better team won on the night. The quality within the second half was nowhere near it. So I'm expecting to, whatever squad I put out tomorrow night, is to see a reaction, to see a performance, to go and enjoy themselves against a team who's in a division above, to go and test themselves, but, you know, to test themselves collectively in the team, not as individuals. And, you know, there's going to be some changes. There's going to be some boys playing some minutes. And I have got to be careful because I need to make sure that I've got my ammo ready to play in the two league games. So, yes, it'll be good for the boys, but, you know, I'm mindful of obviously Saturday, Whittam away. And that's obviously where my priorities lie anyway as manager.
But I mean, with that game, you know, the likes of the Enfield game and the Concord Rangers game, you know, I mean, at the moment, Enfield are sort of, as I said, are flying. They're in second place in the division above. I mean, they're the top goal scorers in the league. Have you got to also be careful with what side you put out, that you don't sort of put a team out and, worst case scenario, you take a little bit of an hiding from them, and then you've got that scenario then of trying to pick the boys back up again to go again on that. So is it, are these the type of worries that, you know, that you could do without, shall we say?
Yeah, listen, the timing's not great. I'll be totally honest with you. It's not great, but football's football and you've just got to deal with it. And listen, they're a good side. They're at step three. They're doing well. Like you said, the boys scored 37 in 37, I think, or something like that, I read the other day, the lad up front. And, you know, I know a couple of the boys down there anyway. I think I played with them a few years back in Scotty Thomas and Scotty Thomas and Lee Chapel and all that as well. So, they've got a good squad. They've got a decent, you know, a good manager. And it'll be good. The boys need to go out there and test themselves. And will it be an eye-opener? For some of the youngsters, it may well be. Or you know, they may well go and surprise themselves and go and perform out their skins and think, oh, this step three lark's not as hard as what you think. Listen, there ain't much, I'll be totally honest, there ain't much between it. I've played at probably all levels in non-league, and ability-wise, there's a lot of ability at these levels. And the only thing that obviously sets you apart from the boys who are playing higher up the pyramid is decision making. If their decision making's 9 times out of 10's better and the right one, and that's why they're playing at the level. In terms of ability, there's so much ability at this level that I see week in, week out, and been in dressing rooms where there's boys. But like I say, when you go up, you have less opportunities, and you have to make the right decision more often than not to make sure that you get something from the game. And that is how it is. The decision making is a big part of it.
It's just been a big transfer dropped, and I just seen it over there. That's why I was a bit distracted, because it concerns my team anyway. But Barcelona have agreed to sign Aubameyang, not loan him, on a free transfer.
I didn't know you support Barcelona, Dave.
Yeah.
I'm an Arsenal fan as well. So they've signed him, have they?
Numbered now.
But they've actually signed him on a free a transfer, not a loan.
Okay, well, I suppose on the amount of money that he was on, getting him off the wage bill will help the club rather than probably having a transfer fee as well. Free transfer.
You might be getting a call to have a game, because right, we ain't got a strike.
Yeah, they haven't made any signings, have they?
No, none at all. Jesus. Literally no one.
Yeah.
Charlie.
What's that?
We're coming for Freddie if we're not careful.
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
crazy. But I mean, are you looking though to add, you know, transfer wise? Are you looking to see if you can add a couple to it to help you out in the sort of get a couple of numbers in, or maybe somebody, you know, rising stars from your academy or whatever else that you might be able to bring in just to sort of add to the numbers for, you know, between now and the end of the campaign?
Yeah, listen, it is a possibility. There's a couple of boys who are probably ready to actually introduce themselves to men's football. It's got to be the right time. It's got to be, you know, I've got to make sure that they're actually ready to go into that system and to be integrated into that. But there's also a couple of boys that we're keeping tabs on. You know, we've lost I mean, in terms of injuries, I think the biggest one was probably Jess Alino. You know, that the lad who was playing, he was playing out of his skin. He was one of the top performers, you know, in the new system I was playing in, and shame obviously that he had broken his metatarsal. So he's still going to be at least, you know, another 3.5-4 weeks away, I would imagine, minimum. So, but listen, we've got a good blend. We've got some experienced boys at the moment in there. We've got some youngsters. So the blend's good. If the opportunity comes where I can get a couple in, and the chairman gives me the green light, then obviously I'll do that. But yeah, in terms of the nucleus of the squad, we're pretty much set, if I'm honest, Dave, in terms of what we've got. I'm not one of them people that I like to have cohesion in the dressing room. I don't really want to bring people in for the sake of it. I just want there to be a familiarity. The boys know the squad. This is what we're working with. I'll only add to it if I actually desperately need to.
So, I mean, you were saying earlier on, I mean, one of the sort of last sort of couple of questions, I mean, you were talking about earlier on about how Ali says, you know, this player's going to be out for 12 weeks or 8 weeks, and you know it's probably only going to be six or whatever else because she's overcautious. But, I mean, are you one of those managers now that if the physio comes up to you and says, look, you can't play this player because of whatever reason, that you stand and go, well, hang on a minute, what do you mean I can't play him? So are you somebody that sort of accepts what the physio says, or are you one of those ones that goes back and actually challenges the physio?
No, I'm actually the first. Yeah, I actually accept what Ali says because, you know, like I say, she's overcautious. But if it was like the here and now, if he's not ready here and now, then obviously it's no good. You know, I had a lad on Friday night who was touch and go. Who was having a fitness test before the game. I didn't think he was going to be available to me to play, and I thought I sort of more or less writ him off. And all of a sudden, he declared himself fit, and I had to have that conversation with Ali. Listen, Ali, if he's fit for now, but I'm losing him again for 2 to 3 weeks after this, I can't afford for that to happen. I'd rather just have him lose him for one game now, whereas we've got him then for the rest of the season or for the coming weeks, where I actually really, really desperately need him. And you know, the conversation was had, it was positive, and you know, and he come through unscathed. And yeah, so it's great to have someone like Ali who can tell me yes or no. And listen, you've got to deal with it. That's what happens, and you have to give somebody else an opportunity to come in and stake a claim for the shirt.
I mean, have you got? I mean, in the actual club itself, though, I mean, have you got the resources around to send mates or some of your sort of backroom team out to see Whittam and see Basildon and see the team that you're playing coming up, or do you just go into it knowing, I don't know, roughly what they're going to do? I mean, do you do that sort of stuff? Do you send scouts out to have a look at the actual games?
We have had a bit of feedback on certain teams and the way they play or the way they try to play in certain games. I've managed to sort of speak to a few people that I've known who I've played with over the years or come across over the years who I trust and who have come up against them maybe for their teams and asked about how they played, what sort of system they played, you know, etc. So there is a couple, and yeah, we have had a little bit of feedback on Whittam, and you know, we've got an idea of how they're going to try and play or how they will play, and we know exactly what their pitch is like, etc. So, yeah, so all the obstacles. But at the end of the day, the way I tried to say to the boys, listen, it's 11 v 11. It's a case of, you know, who turns up on the day, who does their jobs better individually, who wins their own battles. And that's really it, really. If you play to the system, you trust the process and you're prepared to, you know, work to your maximum with and without the football, then you're always going to give yourself a chance.
Can I just jump in one more time, David?
Oh, man.
Really cheap. I don't often get to ask Chalmers about his career. He's such a great player. Who's the best player you played against, Chaz?
Best player I've played against? I'd probably say Gary Pallister, X-Man United. Mm-hmm. I played against him when he was at Middlesbrough. You know, I was just a new kid on the block, really, at Charlton, and managed to have a start in the Prem against Middlesbrough, and it was... He was centre half with Ugo Egyog, you know, God rest his soul. And I thought to myself, you know what, Egyog, he just signed for Aston Villa. Let me play on Pallister. His legs have gone. He's not going to get nowhere near me. I kid you not. I had to get out of his pocket at the end of the game. What he lacked in legs, he made up for in his head, and top class. And he was actually quicker than what I actually thought he was going to be as well. So Pallister, in terms of centre halves, I've come up against, and I've played against some decent ones. Jonathan Woodgate, he was decent when he was at Leeds. But, you know, in terms of actual player, who I was in awe of, probably Gianfranco Zola. He would probably have been the best one.
I mean, for me, probably one of the best players, even though he didn't play for Arsenal, probably one of the best players, or the best player that wasn't an Arsenal player that's ever played in the Premier League, to me.
Who's that? Zola?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a little magician, and it was like I've said this before about the under 23 football. I said I don't really, considering how I grew up, and it was like reserve team football where you played combination football and you played against all the ex pros who weren't playing or just coming back from injuries. It set you up more for men's football than these under 23s at the moment. And Zola coming out at where did we play? Might have been somewhere like Kingstonians. I think Chelsea might have been playing their games, their reserve games at. He comes out at Kingston, playing at Kingstonians, you know, Gianfranco Zola on a cold and frosty evening. And actually playing, like properly putting on a performance. It was great, great to be a part of and share the pitch with someone like that.
I mean, he was one of those guys, though, for me, I suppose, in a way. When I used to run a youth team for Waltham Abbey, two of the players there, the two strikers, actually broke the goal scoring records for the club at that stage, in the youth ranks. And they both scored exactly the same amount of goals. One supported Arsenal, one supported Chelsea massively. And I thought, so for the presentation, let's see if we can get him a signed shirt. One would like loved on Reed, the other one, of course, was Zola. Tried to get him to get it all signed up and all the rest of it and get it all framed for him. Spoke to Arsenal and said, any chance you could do this for me? And I got told, it's going to take 3 to 4 months to get a shirt signed.
Yeah.
I went, are you for real? Like, you know, you're taking the mick. And went over to Chelsea, phoned Chelsea, spoke to the woman on the thing. She went, well, what I can do, she said, is I can, you buy the shirt, she said, and then send it back to me. I'll send it to Gianfranco. I'll get him to sign it. She said, once you send it back to me, it should take a week before we can send it back to you. She went, hang on a minute. She said, he's just walked in the room. She spoke to him. And she said, I'll tell you what we do. She said, you pay for the shirt with me now. She said, he's going to sign it right now and we'll send it off to you. Within two days, it was actually back. Yeah. And this little kid's face, when I pulled it out of a black sack to present it to him at the end, I'm not too sure who was more excited, him or his mum. It was just incredible. His mum was going.
Yeah, no, it's,
but it was just fantastic to see that somebody would actually go that far and do something like that. It was incredible. But I mean,
it's a different world, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, Ali just said to you, you know, your favourite player been up against or best player been up against. What about best game you played in?
Best game I've played in. Most memorable one, obviously, would have been, you know, the Premier League game where I scored against Newcastle. That's a massive highlight because obviously as a kid, you always dream of playing at the highest stage in English football. And yeah, so that would have been, that's right up there as a youngster. But in terms of game, one that stands out, probably playing against Everton in the League Cup for Brentford under the lights at Griffin Park. We beat them on penalties and they had the likes of Arteta playing, Pienaar, you know, Fellaini, Jackie Elkart. They had some big players playing at the time. And I think we drew the game 1-1 and we ended up beating them on penalties, which was, yeah, it was one of the best games that I've been involved in. Probably one of them ones, I would imagine.
I mean, on one of your loves in Brentford, I mean, I suppose you wouldn't have been asking this question some time ago, but have they got enough to stay up? And, you know, and also as well, is it me that their results seem to have gone a little bit Pete Tong since the goalkeeper got injured?
Yeah, listen, they've been spoiled a little bit in terms of the quality of Raya and with his distribution as well, because he's actually very good with his feet. But a real good keeper. And last year, he came under a lot of scrutiny as well. Last year, he made a few mistakes and, you know, fans were coming for him a little bit. And that was when there was no fans, you know, just seeing him on the iFollow or seeing him on the TV in terms of what happened. And, you know, one game I actually did last year as well, he made a bit of an error and it cost him a goal. And but, yeah, you don't really realise what you've got until it's not available to you. And the keepers that have gone and stepped in, they've not really sort of carried the baton on from him, which is why you have number ones and number twos, etc. But yeah, he is a big loss. But they have dipped in terms of their form. But you know, in terms of the way they play, and like I said, I did the Man United game, and for 45 minutes they absolutely battered Man United. Man United were terrible, and they couldn't score, and that's the biggest thing. If you can't score against a team like that when you're on top. Because the way Brentford played, and it's weird, the way they played, they played with like a low block. So they played really deep. They denied space. They frustrated Manchester United. And they hit them on the counter. And if you're going to play that way, you have to score first. Because if you don't score first, it's so difficult to change the way you're playing. And against a team like that, once they did come out and gaps started to appear, the quality obviously showed through against, you know, one of the European greats, really.
The last question for you before we let you go, because we know you had to rush back in and do this for us. We appreciate that. But
that's all right, no problem.
I mean, with the actual Tony situation that came up over the last week, as a manager, how would you have coped with that? And two, as a teammate, how would you have coped with that?
As a manager, I'd probably do an Arsene Wenger and say I didn't see it. listen up. I don't know, I just think some of these youngsters, and he is still quite young, isn't he? I mean, social media, when I was younger, and I'm showing my age here, when I was younger and I was playing, there weren't no social media. Especially when I first burst on the scene, we had the Nokia phones with Snake in that. So it was, there weren't no Instagram or Snapchat and all that. So Twitter, you have to be so careful. And yeah, I don't know how he got sucked into doing what he did, saying what he did. He's obviously come out with and said it was edited, as you would. But I honestly don't know how they're gonna deal with it. How would I deal with it? It's a good question, to be honest with you. I'll be honest, Dave, I haven't really got an answer for you on that front. But I'm sure there'll be a lot of other people higher up the chain than the manager as well is going to want to deal with it. So, I'm sure you'll get an apology, unless, I don't know if he's already done one, written apology for his language, etc. And, you know, and it's probably an excuse within that as well. But will he have a monetary fine? Possibly. Is that enough? I don't know. Is never enough. When it's your football club as fans and the ones you support, they're always going to want more. But yeah, no, obviously one of them ones, watch this space and we'll see. But you know, I think there's other headlines with bigger problems in the press this week, and that may well save him a little bit, you know, in terms of how big some of the other headlines are with other certain players.
I mean, talking about players and headlines this week, when I'm not talking about the one that you're talking about, I'm talking about another one. But and I'm not sure if Ali actually knew, has been with Tony when the guy was playing. I'm not sure if he's played for Cray or whatever Ollie Tanner.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've not met Ollie. I've seen him play a couple of times. He's a very good player. Cracky.
Yeah. I mean, how disappointed must he be for that young man?
Do you know what? I think there's more to this story than's been said, so I won't comment hugely amount. But I think what I understand, I mean, number one, the social media reaction to him was horrible to watch. I think people need to remember that it's not an excuse, but he is young, he's growing, he's learning. I think to chastise him over a few comments is quite unkind, if anything. I think we've learnt nothing from Caroline Flack about getting onto people online and not seeing the outcome of that. But equally, I think I understood he wanted to have he wasn't very interested in under-23 football and wanted to be sort of have a better pathway to the first team. And you know what? I have to respect that as a young man. Think, you know what? I want men's football, perhaps. And do you know what? I respect him for it, everything he's done. He's very brave. you know, to get an offer like that and then say no or not agree terms, is quite brave. I think all power to him. Hopefully he gets a better offer and he gets to do better things and he knocks him out of the cup one day, who knows.
We might get an Arsenal contract, we need a striker.
Yeah, he's an Arsenal fan, I understand. I bet that's the main issue, is he's an Arsenal fan.
No, yeah, obviously I echo that. I don't really know the ins and outs of the actual reasons. Or yes, there was a tweet that had come up from when he was 15 years old regarding Harry Kane or something like that. I've not seen it, don't know what it was. But like we say, he's young. Whatever that tweet was, he's made it. It shouldn't really come back to haunt him in that respect. But yeah, from what I understand is, listen, he's been playing regularly at Step 3 men's football, you know, where he's been given his chance, playing under, you know, Tony Russell, who's a good coach, with Vinesy as well. So he's got good people around him to maybe influence him, try and develop him as a player. And you can see the performances that he's put in terms of his stats this year and stuff. And it's going to open clubs' eyes, and there's going to be a lot of interest in the boy. But it is true what they say. Why would he want to leave playing men's football to go and play in someone's under 23? Is that going to be better for his development? What might be better for his development is training every day with so-called, you know, great players, or being involved maybe in training for first teams. But, you know, under 23 football, I've said it before, it's very false in terms of when you watch it. You know, it's like, you have it, we have it, you have it, we have it. And when you ain't playing for 3 points on a Saturday and it don't really mean much in terms of you're looking at your own personal display rather than collectively when you go and play that sort of football. He's been in and around it already at a young age and he wants more of it. So, you know, would he be better suited to go to a League One club or a champ, or, you know, a lower league club, but to go and play within their squad and be part of it in the first team? That's obviously looking more likely in terms of where he wants to go. So, yeah, rightly so. I mean, you look at other clubs at that level who have lost players. Worthing have done it over the last couple of years. They've lost the boy Kwame Poku, who's one of our boys from Valenti. He went to Colchester, you know, ripped it up at Colchester the first year he went there, got in the playoffs, played 30-odd games, scored 6 or 7 goals, whatever it was, you know, burst onto the scene. But when you're young and you're at an age and you're playing at a certain level of non-league football, it opens eyes and people get noticed. And obviously, his performances have done that. So I'm sure he's going to have a great career in the game wherever he ends up.
No, absolutely. Well, listen, guys, time's run out. And Charlie, we're a massive thank you to you, mate, for coming.
No problem,
mate. And as you know, Keith thinks you're the bee's knees.
Yeah, I'll get back on, Dave. Don't worry, when he's back on.
We're all right.
Well, always got time for Keith.
Well, I was just about to say to you, we'd love you to come on, because in a few weeks' time, we're going to be celebrating our 300th show. So it'd be fantastic if you'd come on and join
us.
Yeah,
no problem. Yeah, no problem at all, mate. Yeah, that's fine.
Well, listen, mate, thank you for giving up your time. Wish you all the very best tomorrow.
Cheers,
again, boys, tomorrow. And, of course,
thank you, mate.
As well. Hopefully you get the right result. Ali, of course, as always, thank you for spending the time with us tonight. We really, really appreciate you coming on, and keep up all the fantastic work that you're doing. And we'll speak very, very soon as well. But from everybody else, hopefully Keith will be back with us next week. But until next week, and we are working on trying to get hold of Jeff Thompson and Kevin Phillips from South Shields as well to get them to come on as well. So hopefully we can get them on in the next few weeks as well. But until next week, good night.